those things.
Meeting Jane Fonda.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yes.
Roger and I having lunch with Jane Fonda and Ted Turner.
That's right.
Carl comes down. We're sitting in the hotel doing the broadcast down there, and Carl stops in and afterwards, and he says, would you like to come over and meet Jane Fonda and Ted Turner? I said, no. I said, okay, when?
Who are they?
Yeah, right. And so we went to lunch with them at the CNN headquarters at the executive lunchroom. And there was Carl, Jane, and he was talking with Ted Turner, a little baseball business. And there I was on the other side of the table talking with Jane Fonda about anything I wanted to talk about. Oh, I tell you, it was great.
I might add, they gave Roger the only interview they gave during the World Series.
That's
so
right.
I thought that
That's
was incredible.
True. Yeah. All the media were trying to get with Ted Turner for an interview. Not only about the World Series, but about the relationship. Jane Fonda and Ted Turner. An unusual coupling and everything. And they wanted to, and nobody did. Yeah. So I asked Carl going in, I brought Eric Escala's little tape recorder. Remember that, Eric? Brought Eric's little tape recorder. Do you think maybe I might try to get an interview? And you said, you can try. Yeah,
but Charlie turned on the charm, as he usually does, and he had Jane eating right out of his hand.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank
you. Carl Pollan and Jerry Bell from the Minnesota Twins.
Thank you.
You know, Carl Pollan was at our 25th anniversary. The Chamber of Commerce in Minneapolis threw a big party for us, big luncheon, and Carl Pollan was throwing baseballs out to the crowd, and he was a very important. We were playing back some tapes of some archival tapes that Boone and Erickson are in, and there was Carl right in the middle of it, so we have a lot of memories with Carl and Jerry.
Now, Charlie, you introduce our next guest, because this person is representing the listeners who've had to put up with us.
I know Barbara Schaller's over there. Barbara Schaller and Rod, probably one of our longest continuing corresponding listeners, along with Patty Williams and Bob Williams. But Nick Nash is a very astute listener, because he's the former program director of Minnesota Public Radio. Now, you know this guy, he listens with a very educated ear. And Dr. Nash is a Renaissance man. He does everything. So he thought, maybe it'd be kind of fun to introduce Nick and have him say something.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Nick Nash, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. It's very difficult being up here, being surrounded by one's youth and one's middle age and one's late middle age. But I'll try and get over it. I feel kind of like a pair of four-buckle overshoes in a room full of running shoes. But anyway, I'd like to provide context for Roger's retirement, and I thought I'd parody Charlie's point of law that occurs Monday through Friday at 5:25 on CCO. But before I do that, I just want to tell you one story from my years at public radio. In St. Paul, one afternoon, the tornado sirens went off, and there was no reason. It was not a Wednesday at 1 o'clock, so I wandered across to the newsroom and turned to one of the anchors who was working in his news cubicle, and I said, say, do you know why those sirens went off? And he said, no, I don't, and turned on WCCO. It's true. So here's my version of a moot point of law, a pretty moot point of law. Can a member of a popular radio team retire after nearly four decades of successful broadcasting when the listeners protest and file a class act suit? A Minnesota court tuned into the issues in the case of the unhappy audience. Charlie and Raj had been a duo for 38 years at WCCO, one of the nation's great radio stations. They handled countless interviews, did skits and bits, personal appearances, charity events, and so on. But the time came when Roger wanted to retire. He had achieved fame for many things, But it was his handling of school closings when winter reared its ugly head that brought him radio's equivalent of Olympic gold. When the news was announced, the listeners revolted. This upset Roger because he never thought the listeners might be revolting. Oh, a hot and humid August day at the state fair might get a little gamey, but never, ever revolting. The listeners sued to keep Raj on the air, and in court, their attorney said,
"For nearly four decades, Charlie and Raj have kept Minnesotans giggling in their barns, their cars, their kitchens, their bedrooms. Well, you get the idea. In a state where a hot dish must have potato chips or chow mein noodles on top, where driving the speed limit in the left lane is really bad news, but morally okay, and where support groups are the adult equivalent of Little League Baseball, Roger's cackle and general goofiness have reminded hundreds of thousands of Minnesotans that beneath our placid exteriors, it's okay to be a little crazy. His departure increases the chances that others will behave more crazily in their daily lives, and this will hurt the image of our state, its economic prospects, and probably the chances for a new stadium. He should not be allowed to retire," Roger's attorney said.
"The world has had more than its share of great performing pairs. Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello, Burns and Allen, Bob and Ray, Marilyn and Monroe, and now Boone and Erickson. When these others departed, the world survived, and it will do so now. Though it is true that never have so many listeners owed so much to one such as Roger, he is not an indentured servant. He should be free to go. What did the court decide? Can Roger Erickson retire after nearly four decades in a very successful broadcasting partnership? Oh, for sure as heck he can, said a Minnesota court. But only if his wife, Margaret, says it's okay. Disappointed, though, hundreds of thousands of listeners might be, from time to time, they need to remember this is radio, not real life. When real life intrudes, they can always fall back on their memories of all the good bits and skits. Even this court will miss Roger's goofy laugh, Nordic accents, and the feeling that he was one of us, but a whole lot funnier. However, Boone must complete his contract. Their goodwill and good humor will remain always in all of our hearts and minds. And in this court case in the state of Minnesota, it's a pretty moot point of law. Thank you.
Nick Nash, ladies and gentlemen. Can we hear that at 525? That was incredible. Oh, that was beautiful. Oh, that's fun.
Well, are our governors representing all the governors? We have a Democrat, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And a Republican.
Wendy Anderson and Al Quie.
Yes.
Well, now, Governor, you not only are Democrat and Republican, but also Swede and Norwegian, right?
I didn't know that. I didn't explain so much.
Yeah.
These are tall governors. We got to raise the mics.
I thought he had a little Norwegian in him. Well, Al, you know, Wendy, of course, we appreciate all you did, but Al, you're a little known for other things you've done besides being governor. Inventing the Cuisinart, for instance, was a great
right,
thing.
That's that right. Right on.
But now you are here because you claim that we've been tough on all past governors. Is that right?
Well, if it hadn't been for governors, I don't know if you'd been able to last all that time. What would you use for material?
And you also claim that we don't know how to do Scandinavian jokes. Is that right, Wendy?
No, I don't make that claim.
So can you do a Scandinavian joke better than we do?
Actually, you should understand that I was in Sweden in the mid-70s, and I said to a Swedish friend of mine, "Do the Swedes in Sweden poke fun at the Norwegians the way we do in Minnesota?" He said, "Oh, no," he said, "not since the Norwegians found oil."
Yeah.
So we no longer tell stories about the Norwegians. True stories, but no jokes.
Do you have a true story about the Swedes, Al?
You bet. You can tell a Norwegian who's made it. He has a Swedish chauffeur.
Now, one day...
I didn't think that was funny.
One day we've got to ask you, how many remember the Time magazine article with then-governor, look at the hands that go up, then-governor Wendell Anderson holding a fish on the cover of Time magazine, The Good Life in Minnesota? That was the thrust of the article. Now, we on the Boone Erickson show did a kind of a takeoff on that. It was during the Watergate era.
It was very mean.
During the Watergate era, and so we did an investigation a la Watergate. We had Senator Sam Ervin type person. Well, all I want to know is, did you catch the fish? So anyway, we did this big expose, and actually there was some question about whether you caught that fish. Can you tell us once and for all, what was the real story? Did you catch that fish or not?
Well, first, I would have told you then if you'd asked, but it has spoiled your story. Actually, the Time photographer followed me to Ely. I caught several very nice walleyes. He took many pictures. We had a shore lunch. We ate my fish. During lunch, one of my staff people, Peter Gove, a wonderful guy who became head of the pollution agency, he had never caught a fish. During lunch, he caught a small northern. He wanted a picture taken for his mother. I held up this little northern, which I would not have kept. And that is the picture Time magazine decided to use. It embarrassed me. To this day, Minnesotans come up, why did you hold up the north? Why didn't you hold up some walleyes? And I, there it is.
There's the story. It's true. True story. Now, Al Quie, Governor Al Quie, and his lovely wife Gretchen started a wonderful thing while they're in the governor's residence. They said the governor's residence is the people's residence of Minnesota, so they could write in, and you held a lottery. You would draw, would you have four couples stay over on a weekend, once a month or whatever it was?
Yeah, there was three rooms with double beds, so there was three couples, and then there one single bed, so the single person would come.
So we called over and said, you know, this is a really unique idea. We'd like to come over and cover it, and right, Charlie? So we broadcast the next morning from the governor's residence. Now, there are how many bedrooms?
Well, there are four bedrooms you use. There are five, but Gretchen and I use one of them.
The only time Charlie Boone and I had ever slept together.
Well, you know, a lot of people say you guys have been together almost 38 years. That's longer than most marriages. And I said, well, yeah, but we don't have to sleep together. Yeah. But we did once.
Yeah, did once. Gretchen's idea of this was, tends to be VIPs that come to the governor's residence, and why not make it available for some people who just, you draw out a lot, and it was great Minnesotans who came. But I got the biggest kick out of that, because Gretchen always is concerned when you say you slept together. She said they slept in two beds up there on the third floor. They were sleeping in the same bed. Well, what I got the biggest kick out of, though, is when they found out that Roger has booties in his pajamas.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You. Governor Al Quie and Governor Wendy Anderson.
We're back right after the news
on Boone and Erickson on WCCO Radio. Thank you.
The final moments of the final Boone and Erickson show live from Bravo. Hey-o.
show, the Boone Erickson Show, downtown Minneapolis, broadcasting live, coast to coast.
Yes.
Or at least border to border. Say, are you nervous?
About what?
The last half hour?
Is this the last half?
Is this the last half hour?
Hey, a guy who is a terrific cartoonist, we want to introduce him to you right now, Bob Perizzo. Come on up here, Bob. Bob.
Well, we've got a piece of art here for Roger. It shows he and Charlie at Minnesota Hospital, and it's... It says it's dedicated to the men and women who make Minnesota a great state to be sick in. And it shows the two of them in a kind of an unusual pose. I don't know if I can explain it on the air. But everybody here has signed it at this point. It must be
autographed by everybody here. Wow.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
But this is for you, Roger. And
well, thank you. That's great.
Hope you enjoy it. There's a few comments in there that we...
Oh, I'm interested in reading those comments, too.
Has Gil
thank
Whitney
you all.
And,
thank you, Bob, and thank you all.
Thank you, Bob.
Well, we need somebody to take us home now this when we're reaching the final portion here. So who do we have, Charlie?
Well, Don Stoltz, who has been much in the forefront of our careers. He was the MC at our 25th anniversary, the Chamber of Commerce put on. He was our MC at the B'nai B'rith Humanitarian of the Year Awards. He was our director in The Odd Couple at the Olog Theater and a fighter director.
He always talks so fondly about that.
Yes. A marvelous director and an incredible individual.
Patty Peterson is from the famous Peterson family. Willie Peterson, her dad, had an orchestra on WCCO radio.
That's right.
For many, many years.
Her mom, Jeannie Arlen Peterson, of course, a fabulous jazz pianist and singer.
Singer, who also on WCCO radio. And now Patty Peterson is on WCCO radio. So, in other words, they cover the Boone and Erickson times on
then
the air.
Then and now.
Then and now. Here they are.
Ladies Don and Stoltz, gentlemen, Patty Don Stoltz, Peterson. Patty Peterson.
Hey, Patty.
I got to tell you a story about Patty. She was a guest on our show, and she just came out with a CD. Your first CD, right? And I did not have a CD player. Well, after I heard Patty Peterson sing, I went out and bought a CD player. So that tells you how good she is.
So you could tell if I could really do it, huh?
You do it. Yeah, I'll say. Great to have you both here.
It's an honor to be here, Charlie.
Don,
thanks.
Step up to the microphone.
Which is the best one? I need all the help I can get.
Well, I can't be this far away from you. I'll have to move over. Well, maybe I should stay this far away.
Let's trade places, because I have to be close to those guys over there.
I'll do that. I think I'll just come over here.
This is Wendy Anderson's.
No, actually, it was mine. I just raised it.
You are tall.
Yeah, I am tall. Say, Don, I heard him mention the Odd Couple. What year was that?
That was 17 years ago. Can you believe that?
1980, is that what you just said?
1980.
How were they? Were they any good?
That's a terrible question.
I know, but you made me ask it.
They were, they were marvelous.
I wish the laugh track was a little louder.
They really were. Yes, they were. We're doing The Odd Couple again, you know.
You know what? I did hear that. When does that start?
It starts January 22nd, without them.
You know, and I was under the impression they were not going to do this anymore so they could do The Odd Couple for you.
They're too old, they're too tired,
now,
and
Don,
they're too unavailable.
That may be the only truth in that whole statement.
That's the only real reason. Well, they were great in The Odd Couple, and as a matter of fact, my personal lyricist has written a little song about the Boone and Erickson of those days.
Your personal lyricist? I didn't know you had a personal lyricist.
Oh, yes. Bob Williams. You have sung some of his lyrics.
Right. Bob Williams. All of those industrial shows we've done together.
That's right. I have this little song.
You mean, wait a minute, you're going to do it?
Yes.
I didn't know you could sing, Don.
I can't. That's the reason it's appropriate for me to do it. It shows that you don't need any talent at all to be on the Boone and Erickson show.
Well, good luck, Don.
Well, I'll need it. Are you ready for this?
I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be. Are you ready for this?
No. Reuben?
What key, Don?
What was that question?
What key are you going to sing this song in?
What key? It doesn't really matter. I won't be able to hit it anyway.
Well, probably not, but let's try B-flat.
B-flat. And now the time is here, and as we face the final curtain, my friends, I'll make it clear, Charlie and Raj weren't Richard Burton. They graced the Odd Couple set, and I must say, but in a fair way, we ain't recovered yet. They did it their way. I've heard them on the air, and I must say, as actors posing, now, Raj, I must declare, you read your lines like your school closings. And as for Charlie's flaw, his voice kept changing. I might dare say, 'twas just like Point of Law. They did it their way. For what is all of this about? You two were good, there is no doubt. Your Oscar, one big sloppy treat. And Charlie's Felix, oh so neat. Our stage you trod, the couple odd, and did it your way. The parts I know you've played, hospital sketches, your invention, the July 4th parade, and those worst jokes I hate to mention. On CCO, we knew you'd reach success in no demure way. We're gonna miss you, too. You did it your way.
Don Stultz, you never cease to surprise me. Wait, you're supposed to bow that way. No. That was really unbelievable, Don. I loved the delivery.
I think that's exactly the right word, unbelievable.
Safe, anyway.
What
can I say?
I wouldn't have done this for anybody but those two.
Well, you know what? And I believe that. They're worthy of that kind of a song.
Yes, that's true.
Great job, Don. But you know what? It did serve one purpose.
I'm glad to hear that. What was it?
Well, it reminded me that I have a song about those two. Charlie Boone and Roger on the air. The time has come, my friend. We hate to see it end. We all agree they really are a pair. They are a pair, aren't they?
You sing better than I do.
You act better than I do.
I hope so.
Hey, Don, how far back do you remember Boone and Erickson on the air?
Well, I remember them before they were on the air. I remember them when Roger, just off the farm, was sitting a trapeze as Bozo the Clown at WCCO-TV. And Charlie had just come to Minneapolis fresh from daily vacation Bible school at his father's Methodist church.
No, I remember. What I mean by that is, how far back do you remember them on this air?
All right. I remember when they closed schools during the St. Patrick's Day blizzard of 1965.
Well, I remember when they closed schools during the Halloween blizzard of 1991.
All right. I remember they're doing jokes about Lyndon Johnson.
Yeah, and they've done some pretty good ones about Bill Clinton, too.
Yes.
Well done, Don.
I remember when they stole jokes from Jack Parr.
Well, I remember them stealing lines from Jay Leno.
That really is petty larceny. Patty, surely you can remember back a little ways.
Well, I do remember one thing. That is the jokes they did about Bud Grant.
Bud Grant?
Yeah,
I remember when they did jokes about Ulysses S. Grant. I also remember when they couldn't say damn on the air.
Don, they still can't say that word.
Oh, they can't? Is this on the air?
Yeah.
Well, does television know that they can't say that?
Well, of course they do, except for sitcoms.
You know, if they can't say that word on the air, how can they get by telling those jokes like the one about the guy fishing in the bathtub? Well, all right.
I don't know.
I have known Boone and Erickson from the very beginning, when they didn't even know how to use a typewriter.
Guess what? They still don't do a very good job with one.
Do you remember when they made jokes about it taking $600,000 for the university to build a kitchen?
$600,000? Wow.
Yeah.
You know, now today, that would be about 1 week's pay for the Timberwolves. Yeah. A Timberwolf.
I remember Charlie broadcasting tower weather from the then tallest building in Minneapolis, the Fauché Tower.
And I remember Roger doing weather ball weather from the top of the Northwestern National Bank.
And the bank burned down the next day.
Well, I remember them interviewing Jimmy Carter.
I remember them interviewing Jimmy Hoffa.
Ha, and Jimmy Hoffa disappeared the next day. That's
true. Oh, those were the days.
Those were the days, my friends. We thought they'd never end with Charlie Boone and Roger on the air. The time has come, my friend. We hate to see it, and we all agree they really are a pair.
Let's do that one again. And now, ladies and gentlemen, WCCO Radio General Manager Jim Gustafson.
As we wind up this final broadcast, I wanted to comment on and bring to your attention something that may not be foremost on your mind when we think of the 37 years of Boone and Erickson. WCCO is, in October of 1998, will be 74 years old. That means that Charlie Boone and Roger Erickson, as Boone and Erickson, have been part of more than half of the life of this great radio station. And in so doing, it proves, as I see Clay Kaufman here, Steve Goldstein, and we talk Larry Haig Jr. and so many, we proves that managers come and go and have absolutely no impact on the radio station. It's these guys who've worn out all the management and kept it and made it what it is. And in that, that's right. And of the countless and immeasurable contribution they have made, the principal ones, I think, have to do with the values and the principles and the core part of that makes WCCO what it has been, what it is, and what I certainly hope it shall be. They're immeasurable, but I want to mention two very briefly that I think are critical. First of all, the good neighbor to the Northwest. We talk of ourselves as the good neighbor. That's a very easy thing to say. And it shouldn't be said unless it can be fleshed out and activity and action happen behind it. And the countless hour after hour they've put in off the air serving this region, serving Minnesota and the whole outreach in terms of being present at banquets and entertaining others and providing airtime on their show to promote the important nonprofit organizations of the state. Charlie and Roger and Boone and Erickson really are the good in the good neighbor that is WCCO. That's one. The other one that I think is more important today than ever is the fact that, oh yeah, we kid about worse jokes, and they certainly have reached a long way for jokes. But they've never reached down into the gutter. They've kept it clean, and they've kept it solid. And people who have been taken the brunt of their humor have been honored to be singled out, not humiliated when singled out. Those are two. There are so many others. But Roger, Charlie, our commitment to you is that we want to keep those principles and values so you will always be as proud to be part of WCCO as we are proud to have had you a part of WCCO. And we thank you. We have a presentation. I'm going to ask Roger's daughter, Tracy Erickson, to come up here for just a moment. Roger, come on up.
Well, we've been talking a lot about, I'm going to cry, my father's career. And I just want to say how proud we are of you. And for all the things that you've done in your career, you've matched it in our family through everything that we've been through as a family. And for all those times you yelled at me about my messy room, I'm paying you back today. Because if you know anything about my father's office, it is a complete disaster at all times. And when CCO asked me what kind of gift they could give to him to show the longevity in his career and something special, we thought of the most high-tech equipment that we could find, which has been in use in his office for those years. This typewriter has been stuffed in more closets and been tried to replace with electric typewriters over the 37 years that he's been there, and he always digs it out because he cannot type on anything but this relic. So in honor of them, in the back, they've also placed a plaque. If you can read it, Dad.
Oh, tremendous. Roger Erickson, WCCO Radio 30. The lights are in the way of entertainment. Yeah, you betcha.
We just want to say how proud we are, and thanks, everyone, for listening.
It's my pleasure to introduce to you a member of the Metropolitan Council and most recent president of the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, my friend and Roger's Jim Wycor.
Thank you, Jim, and good morning. Roger, after 46 years in broadcasting, I have to tell you that talk about a class act. WCCO is the radio station that changes every day but never changes. And that's what makes it the people's radio station. Margaret, I want you to know what happens next. When I retired a year ago, my wife said now she has twice as much husband, half as much money. And Roger, I hope you do the Walter Cronkite retirement as I did. Get up every morning at 5 o'clock with nothing to do, and by noon you're 4 hours behind. I want to announce that all of you are going to be on a invitation list. On April 3rd, the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and the Favik Museum of Broadcasting in St. Louis Park, which, by the way, is the only broadcasting museum in the world dedicated to the preservation of the equipment, the hardware of broadcasting. On April 3rd at the Hyatt Regency Hotel, we're going to be presenting Roger and Charlie with the Broadcasting Association's Lifetime Achievement Award, and it couldn't happen to two finer gentlemen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. I think we got to buy a little time into the next hour because we've
The mayor of St. Paul is here, and I want you to respond to this incredible 3 hours.
Well, I want you to do it for me.
Well, no, you're forcing me into early retirement after seeing what's going on here.
Now, as I see the time, I think we're ready with the network news. Is that right? Right after we get back, I will. Huh? Don't do it?
Go through the network news?
Is
Jim Gustafson here?
Jim, is that all right?
Okay, Jim?
Is there anybody from CBS here? No.
Is Mel out of town? The big boss was in town on Thursday.
Well, you speak for me. I don't know what to say.
No.
He's always been my spokesman.
No. You can speak very well.
Let me tell you about Charlie. Whenever we've got to respond to something, whether it's in letter form or on the telephone or on the air, I said, Charlie, it's yours. Because he is eloquent. I stammer. No. I never know what to say.
Well, why don't you stammer for a couple of minutes?
No, come on. You stand here with me. Come on. Come on. I wasn't counting on this. I was counting on the music to end and it'll be all over and we're gone. Tell a joke. No, first I want to say something to everyone listening then. Everyone listening now, and I know many of you maybe have been listening over the years. I want to thank those of you who have written. I didn't know there were so many funny retirement cards. They're really great. Some sent flowers. It's fantastic. And I just want to say to you listening, thanks for putting up with me and Boone and Erickson and everything over these years. The listeners on CCO Radio are so great. And if you are good to them, as everyone here knows, they stay with you. I also want to say this about the present staff on WCCO Radio. We have had, and there's a bunch of them here in the past, it's the personalities that have made WCCO Radio. Look at Joe McFarlane out there, Joyce Lamont. I'm just looking over on this side. And there's a bunch of people like that. But the present staff, I see Dark Star, I see Eric Escala, I see Dave Lee back there and others. From the morning show on through the day and on through the night, it's outstanding. And the weekend, what a weekend. I found out how great the weekend is. Although Charlie and I used to work actually Monday through Saturday and weekends for a long time. I want to say that WCCO Radio sounds as great as ever. In place of the worst jokes, it's better than ever. No, really, the station sounds so good. It's a tribute to General Manager Jim Gustafson and to Operations Manager Chuck Dickman and to everybody else. All those working behind the scenes, a lot of them are here now. So to you, I salute you, and it is so. I'm so proud. From now on, somebody says, oh, you're Roger Erickson. What do you do? I'm retired. Well, what did you used to do? I used to work at WCCO Radio. There's a reason that WCCO Radio is still number one. There are a lot of stations that were heritage stations like WCCO Radio that were the grand stations out of the past who don't even come close to CCO Radio in ratings. And the reason is the personalities, the effort that's gone into it. That's why I say today it's the same. You have